Good day. Welcome to all of my dear friends. This day, I would present to all of you the question that you each can respond to in what do you perceive is the most confusing concept to you presently? Let us explore what they are. I'm aware that there are several concepts presently that many of you are confused about and struggling with to understand. Therefore, I would open the forum to each of you to present which concept at this time, personally or in general, do you feel and think are the most confusing to you?
Hello, Elias. This is Jamkina from Holland.
Very well.
Hello, my name is Adele, my essence name. And I am not as much confused as I do have a couple of questions with regards to the primary self. Is it okay to ask those questions?
Very well.
Okay. Which part of self is directing or changing the primary aspect? Because only in one session, and I went through 158, the directing part is mentioned and says it is essence that alters primary aspects. Is that indeed the case, that essence decides upon a change in primary aspect to an alternate self?
In a manner of speaking, yes. In literal terms, yes, it is. But the difficulty with that for most of you is that you continue to generate this separation between yourself and essence, and generating the idea that your essence is something different than you yourself, and it is not. In that, when I express that essence alters the primary self, so to speak, which would be that primary aspect of yourself, which is the most familiar aspect of you, that you identify as you, that you know as yourself objectively. And in that, at times, that primary aspect of yourself does change, and a different aspect of yourself may move into the position of being the primary aspect. And in one capacity, it would be accurate to express that essence generates that change, but that is meaning you.
Okay.
That does not always mean that you, as you know yourself, are objectively aware of doing that, but you would be aware of the change. For
especially when they are big, of course, when the alternate self is quite different from the current primary self, then you will notice specifically.
Correct. But that does not occur very often. In actuality, that is considerably rare that an individual would change that primary aspect of themselves so dramatically that you would not recognize yourself. But you do notice when you alter those primary aspects of yourself, for in that you will notice differences, different qualities, different
interests, maybe also different interests, like you change bit your the direction of your interests as well.
If it is a significant change in interest. Right. A change in interest is not necessarily an indicator of changing a primary aspect. For individuals do change their interests occasionally throughout their lifetimes. And in that, you can change what you are passionate about. You can change your interests. You can change what you are curious about. And that is not necessarily an indicator that you altered a primary aspect of yourself. It would be more displayed in qualities or what you might think of as talents.
Yeah, I understand. Yes. Okay. Then my second and last question, what are usually the triggers for my focus to change primary aspects or for anybody's focus? Would that be trauma? Would it be just a need to tap into other talents? How does that change come about? What's the trigger behind such change?
At times it could be generated by trauma. I would express that many times it is more associated with the exploration of different talents or qualities of the individual that are latent, that the individual does not necessarily express, and there may be a desire to explore those talents. Now, that would be predicated by the direction that the individual was moving in. Let us say that an individual generates an interest in a particular subject and has very little inclination in relation to that subject and genuinely wants to explore that, but it is more than giving yourself information about a subject. It is more tapping into those latent qualities or talents that you hold and allowing them to be expressed. And in that, definitely significantly changing your abilities.
Okay, I understand. And then would those triggers be the same, like exploring abilities in childhood versus adult time versus older age? Because I understood from the session material that both children and older people tend to change their primary aspect more often than people in their mature ages.
That is correct. That does occur more frequently, although it is not, once again, common, but it does occur more frequently with children or with individuals in what you identify as older years.
Right. And also for the same triggers, I can imagine that a person who is kind of in the way of in transition still likes to explore a couple of things before indeed dying, let's say. Is that one of the triggers, that there's kind of last minute exploration needs?
No, not necessarily. No, that would not necessarily be a motivation, for in that individuals can choose other expressions to generate those types of explorations, and generating certain types of transition within physical focus can accomplish that in actuality more effectively than altering the primary aspect of the individual. For when you are altering the primary aspect of the individual, generally you are doing that for specific qualities or talents and abilities. And in transition, in some types of transition within physical focus, an individual is exploring much more than one quality or one direction of themselves, and they are generally tapping into other focuses, other experiences, even interdimensional experiences. Therefore, that is a much more expansive experience than changing the primary aspect of oneself. That is only generated to alter the qualities that are expressed by the individual.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much, Elias. This was helpful.
Hi, Elias. This is the moderator. To your initial question, we have a question I'm asking on behalf of Paul in Ohio, which is, I want to ask, reading my own energy when not in reaction mode.
What is the question?
Paul, you want to clarify on text, but the question is, you know, how do you, understanding that reading your own energy when not in reaction mode, and I assume Paul means that you're asking about what's most confusing, and reading your own energy, I guess, to maybe elaborate on behalf of Paul, right? Reading your own energy may be a little bit easier when you're in reaction mode, because it's very clear to see what's going on. And when you're not in reaction mode, it's a little bit confusing, perhaps, to read and assess your own energy.
Very much disagree. I would express that it is the opposite. When you are reacting, you are not reading your own energy. You are not even aware of your own energy. When you are reacting, you are expressing in one direction and you are focused on one subject and what you are feeling in relation to whatever is occurring. And therefore, what you are paying attention to is the feeling, not the message, not what you are doing, not what your energy is doing, but you are focused on the feeling and whatever the source is that you perceive prompted that feeling and reacting to it. And in that, you may be aware of the reaction itself and what it is prompting, for reactiveness prompts you to do, to respond in some manner. That may not be to respond to an outside source. It may be responding to the feeling, but you are prompted by reacting to be responsive, to do in relation to what you are feeling. And in this, you are not aware of what energy you are projecting. You are not identifying that the source is a reflection. You are not aware of what your choices are. You are only aware of the reaction. When you are being present and non-reactive, that is the time framework in which you are more aware of yourself. You can see what is occurring. You can see how you are participating. You can see your choices. And in that, you are more aware of yourself. And you are more aware of what is important to you in a genuine capacity, for you're not clouded by the reactive aspect, and you are not clouded by that factor of being distracted by the feeling. You can acknowledge the feeling, you can be aware of a feeling, but you are not necessarily prompted to do in relation to that feeling, but rather to identify what that feeling is telling you and what it means. Therefore, I would express that you are much more clear and much more able to be aware of, or in your words, read your energy and the energy around you when you are not reactive. For reaction creates a situation of blinders. All you can see is what you are reacting to and what is involved in the reaction itself. But you are not aware of any other factors. Therefore, it is considerably limiting.
Okay, Elias, this is Jan Mude. And in following our conversation about identifying what I want in a particular reflection, I started to play with what feels like a next step for me, in that I started to really key in on the feeling itself. A more primary feeling, I suppose. And that led me to, you know, first of all, understanding what I think was what I wanted, and then keying in on feelings and acting from them and vocalizing from them, and in spaces that weren't familiar to me, but they really felt, it felt very core to me, and it seemed to come from that place of that identification of what I wanted in that reflection.
Awesome example.
Okay, well, this morning, going to a place of understanding what was underneath anger with my partner by identifying that some of the things that are being reflected back to me from how he is being in relationship, all of a sudden brought up a lot of compassion and compassion for self, and vocalizing that to him, as well as being able to come from that place of anger seem to cut through all the crap, so to speak, and instead of dancing up on a higher surface, it just got right down where we were able to connect. And it seemed like the portal to that was understanding what that particular, what part of that particular reflection I had wanted. I had also wanted to be more like he was being, be more looking after self, being being more upfront with emotion.
Excellent. Also, let me explain to you that to this factor of identifying what it is that you want in reflection. It is important to remind yourself you are looking at what is being expressed. What is the reflection? What is the reflection doing? Not how it is being done. Not whether you agree with it or not, not how you would like it to be expressed, but in precisely the manner that it is being expressed, what aspect of that is what you want that you are not doing. And it is not only expressed in reflections that you think of as negative. It could be in reflections that you think of as positive. There is always, in every reflection, an aspect, a component of what you want in that reflection. Now, what can be another easy method, or perhaps an easier method for each of you to experiment with in identifying what is that component? It is very easy for all of you to look at a reflection and see what you don't want, or what you wish was different. That is not difficult for almost all of you. That is almost an immediate response that you generate, especially if it is a reflection that is uncomfortable or that you don't like. It is very easy to immediately identify what it is that you don't like. In that, if you look at what it is that you don't like, and you allow yourself to identify what would you rather this reflection be? Let us say you are engaging a conversation with another individual and they are not actually being quite attentive, and you feel dismissed and not acknowledged. Now, in that, you immediately can identify that you don't like the situation. You don't like the reflection. In that, you may not be as clear initially as to what you are feeling, that you are feeling dismissed or not acknowledged. But you can very quickly identify what you wish the other individual was doing differently, which is your clue as to what you are feeling. It gives you more clarity in relation to what you are feeling, and therefore you can identify that more clearly. And in that, when you express to yourself what you wish the other individual was doing, that can be your clue as to identifying what you want. Now remove the other individual from the scenario, and in that, turn the scenario to what was being expressed that you are not doing that you want to do.
You guys, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
It's Maria Pashka. My question is, I've been feeling that for some half a year, some essence is trying to contact me like for energy exchange. If I'm right, and this is the case, my question is, and my confusion is, why isn't it successful? Why doesn't it give any results? And I want it very much. And as you stated, I have the ability and I have interest in this. And I do want it very much. And also the question, is it Ayla? That's it.
A, B, as simple as you're not exploring all of your options in how to engage the energy exchange. If you want to engage an energy exchange and you are aware of another essence that is present with you, you can feel that energy. You can identify that there is another energy in your physical proximity, and therefore that is confirmed to you. It may merely be a matter of exploring different avenues. Generally speaking, in relation to an energy exchange, individuals incorporate a very narrow spectrum. Their ideas about how an energy exchange is expressed is considerably narrow. That the only way that you can generate an energy exchange is if the other essence is expressing through you and you are channeling that information through language, through verbal language. And that is not the only manner in which you can generate an energy exchange. And it is not the only manner in which you can be giving yourself or interacting with other individuals to be offering information. There are many, 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 many different expressions that you can engage. Not everyone will engage an energy exchange verbally. That is only one avenue.
Would you give any tips as how shall I proceed? And is it Ayla?
Yes. What I would express to you is the most valuable clue is to allow yourself to evaluate what do you genuinely enjoy doing and what do you do naturally. What do you naturally generate? Some individuals naturally speak. Some individuals do not. Some individuals generate other actions that they naturally flow with. That is your clue. For in this, whatever it is that you naturally generate and that you are most comfortable doing, you can expand that and discover an avenue in which you can use that to be facilitating the energy exchange and allowing the information to flow in relation to that action, such as some individuals paint, some individuals sing, some individuals are very comfortable with numbers, some individuals are very comfortable with letters, not necessarily writing, but they may be very comfortable with letters. In this, it is a matter of genuinely allowing yourself to connect with the other essence through the medium that is the most comfortable for you. Then you can develop it in whatever manner you choose and whatever manner you deem to be the most efficient. But the most difficult time framework is the beginning. Once you have begun to engage an energy exchange, it becomes much more easy and it flows, for you are familiar with the energy and you begin to trust it and you begin to trust yourself with it. But in the beginning and initiating that connection, it can be difficult, for there are many self-imposed obstacles, regardless of how strong your desire is to do it. Therefore, the easiest manner to do it is to choose some action that you already know, that you already perceive yourself to be accomplished at, that is easy for you, and that you enjoy. That could be riding a bicycle, which seems, how can I generate an energy exchange while I am riding a bicycle? You can. And in that, you can be allowing that energy and information to flow while you are engaging that action that is very familiar to you and that you feel very comfortable with. And once you establish the exchange, then you can move it and manipulate it in other directions. But to begin with, it is much easier if you allow yourself to connect with the other essence through whatever action is the most comfortable and the most familiar to you.
Yeah. Thank you very much. So the last question, is it Ayla? Is the name of the essence Ayla?
Yes.
Thank you.
I have a clarification question about the question that was asked about seeing the thing you want in a reflection. And you continually say there is a component. There can be several, correct?
There can be, but what I am expressing is that there is, at the very least, one.
Okay.
There's always at least one.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And this is Jan. And then following the identification of that want is the keying in on the feeling more, Elias?
The feelings are important in the capacity of acknowledging them and recognizing and defining what they mean to you, but not moving in the direction of only paying attention to the feelings and therefore then allowing the feeling to dictate your behavior and your choices, which is very different. If you are moving in any direction solely motivated by feeling, you are likely not moving in the most beneficial direction for you, and you are not genuinely being present. And in that, feelings are meant to be signals. Therefore, that is the capacity that they were designed for, that is their function, and that is how they are to be used as signals. Now,
yes. So,
are following what it means to you, then you can evaluate how to proceed.
Yes, okay, thank you. Yes, then you can see your choices and act accordingly. But keying in on that signal is an important part of then being able to act from a more full place. Okay, thank you.
Definitely. And I would express that this is a significant factor also for there are many situations, many time frameworks in which individuals are not paying attention to what they are feeling. We incorporate considerable discussion about not allowing feelings to be dictating your choices and behaviors, for there are so very many of you that are emotionally focused, and you do incorporate a tendency to focus on the feelings rather than what they mean, and in that become confused and allow the feeling to dictate your behavior. But then there are other individuals, more specifically, many times thought-focused individuals, that are not noticing many of their feelings at all. Therefore, you have two extremes. And in that, it is definitely a very important factor to be aware of those feelings that are being expressed, to pay attention to them, to acknowledge them, and to identify or define what they mean to you, not to ignore them and not to dismiss them or override them because they may not be convenient in a moment, but rather to recognize that they are an important function. They are a signal, and that they are significant to pay attention to. But as an alert system, Therefore, Adam, I would express that, yes, in relation to discovering what the component is that you want in a reflection, yes, your feeling as a signal is a significant piece. For feelings can very easily trigger reactions. Therefore, if you are not reacting, it is important to evaluate, what does this feeling mean to me? What am I expressing? And therefore, rather than reacting, what is that component that I am presenting to myself in this reflection that I want, that I'm not doing?
May I offer an example?
Yes.
So I talked about this the other day with a few people. This is more on the forum about just a simple example. And I've had this happen with other electronics, but a lot of times electronics will pause or skip. In this one instance, it was a speaker playing music and it kept stopping the music just randomly and then starting a few seconds later. And then maybe a few minutes later, it would pause again, et cetera, et cetera. So when I was looking at that, of course, I was annoyed. My feeling was very annoyed at it. As far as seeing the want in the reflection, I felt that it had something to do with me not necessarily taking breaks with what I was doing. I'm curious if that's close.
Now stop. If you are looking for that component of what you want, you cannot include the word not. It is not about what you are not doing or what you don't want. It is about what you do want. Therefore, if you were expressing in a different manner, but the same idea, that you want to express more breaks and not be as rigid, but merely, I want to express more breaks, or I want to be more flexible, or I want to pay attention to other factors. In this, that piece about what you want is very simply and definitely that, not what you don't want, what you do want.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I think in that situation, it would have been paying attention to other things, wanting to pay attention to other things at the time I was listening to music.
Yeah. And let me express to you, this may to some individuals seem to be semantics, but it is not. For this is a very clear example of how automatically you move into the negative. How automatically you move into the no instead of the yes or the positive. And in that, how you express those words, how you express that identification may seem to be a simple situation of semantics, but it is not, for it indicates how you are thinking. And what you are paying attention to and what direction you are moving in. When you include that word of not or don't or can't or won't, any of these words that you include in your identification of what you want, you are not expressing what you want. It is simply what I want. Three words, no more. And moving in that simple direction, what is it that I want in this reflection? And as I have expressed previously, it is important to note that whatever the reflection is, you may not want to do it in that manner, but that is not the point. It is not about what you don't like or what you don't want or what you want different. The reason that I expressed previously about looking at what you wish was different about the reflection is merely a method that you can engage that is easier because you are so familiar with automatically viewing the negative. And in that, it is easier for you to identify what you don't like about the reflection and what you wish it was. And in that idea of what you wish it was, if you remove the outside source, then you can give yourself a clue as to what it is about that reflection that you do want.
Thank you very much.
You are very welcome.
Hi, Elias. This is Mireille. I think I'm Camille. I have a question about what you recently introduced, like the two personality types. When I read about it in the transcripts, I felt very, familiar or touched me. There has been a lot of discussion about it. The question that I have is, what is the function of the two types in this dimension?
Excellent question. Very well. The function of these two types of personalities, which are not qualities, they are personality types. And just as your gender types do incorporate different functions, yes, your personality types have different functions also. The function of a supporter personality is to initiate, to move forward, to encourage, to promote, to, in a manner of speaking, manifest. The function of a leader personality is to be a vehicle. Is to invent. Not necessarily promote, There are many inventors that never promote what they invent. Or they do not necessarily initiate. A leader personality incorporates definitely the most significant function as being a vehicle. And in that, allowing themselves to be that vehicle. They also express structure. Leader personalities naturally move in structures and naturally move in sameness. Therefore, they generally will incorporate qualities. This is not a part of the personality type, but they generally will incorporate qualities that lean in directions of routine and ritual and repetitive actions for they express that structured aspect of personality. Now, in this, the individual of a leader type personality may not seem outwardly to be a tremendously structured individual in many capacities. But if you observe that individual, you will notice that they routinely express very repetitive actions automatically. Supporter personalities are more prevalent, and most individuals are supporter personalities because they are more flexible. They understand and naturally know how to support, to encourage, to nurture. They also are naturally accomplished at directing. Leader personalities are not natural directors. They are natural vehicles. Therefore, they naturally will allow themselves to be directed in different roles and in different expressions, especially if they agree with them. But they are not generally initiators. The reason that leader personalities generally from very, very young ages incorporate ideas or a sense within them that they are destined for greatness or that they are in the world to generate a significant contribution, or that they have some grand purpose. The reason that they incorporate that sense or that idea or that feeling about themselves is that they are so naturally predisposed in a manner of speaking, which is not an absolute, do not misunderstand that, to be a vehicle. Therefore, figuratively, in your physical reality, a leader personality could be likened to a channel that is not necessarily participating. That would merely be the vessel for that channeling. A leader personality is predisposed, in a manner of speaking, figuratively, to be that vehicle, to allow for ideas and directions to be channeled through them and to be the focal point of it. To allow themselves to be the vehicle of being a focal point. But in that, naturally, they lack many, if not most, of the qualities that the supporter personality expresses. They lack the natural personality expression, which may be less confusing than incorporating the word qualities, than a supporter personality. Let me express to you the difference in a quality and that which is a personality expression that is natural. Let us use a supporter personality as an example. Most of you are supporter personalities, and most of you, in your experience, will understand. An example, hypothetically, let us say that you encounter another individual, a stranger, on the street. And this stranger begins speaking to you. And this stranger expresses that they are depressed and sad, and they give you a reason, and they express that they are so depressed because yesterday their cat died. Most of you, without thinking, will automatically respond by expressing in some manner of, I am so sorry. You do not know this individual. You may not be interested in their experience, but you will automatically express some expression of compassion. An individual with a leader personality requires being taught that type of automatic expression. They will not automatically respond in a compassionate manner, for they do not automatically process in that capacity. They are a vehicle. They are generally not the directors. Therefore, in being a vehicle, very figuratively, there is an aspect of them that is somewhat empty. And I reiterate that very figuratively. This is not to say that they do not incorporate feelings, or that they are unintelligent, or that they do not have desires or interests or passions. They do. Those are all qualities. But in relation to the personality type, just as in genders, the female gender has the ability to incorporate another life. Therefore, it can be filled. In that, a male individual could be viewed as empty, figuratively speaking, for it cannot carry another life. And this, is the male gender any less valuable or important or a person than the female gender? Of course not, but they function very differently. In similar manner, the leader personality and the supporter personality are equally important and valuable, but they function very differently. Now, it is difficult to see those differences in most situations and with most individuals, for leader personalities learn how to express in similar manners to supporter personalities. They learn that that is important. They learn not to express to that individual who is expressing to them about their dead cat that they don't care. They learn to express in a more compassionate manner. They learn to move in directions and access their empathic sense. They do have an empathic sense, and they learn to engage that. Whereas supporter personalities do not have to learn that.
Or we just marry a supporter type and let them do it for us.
Go, Tyler!
Yo, more is more. Touche. But this is the reason that there are so much fewer leader personalities than there are supporter personalities. And I would express to you all that when you are evaluating in relation to personality types, this is not an expression about qualities. You all incorporate many, many, many qualities, and many of them the same, regardless of what type of personality you are.
Well, thank you, Elias. I think this puts a lot in perspective and lots to ponder about. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. I was waiting for that question.
We all were.
I'm aware that that is a subject that many of you have been confused about.
Elias, I have here a question from Jan Sprager, who comes expressed via her mic. She would really like to know if she is a leader or a support personality type.
And what is the impression?
I think she said that supporter. Supporter. That is right. Okay. just checking for Jen.
This is the moderator. I have a question on behalf of Paul in Ohio. How do we pay attention to our choosing aspects when playing a game of chance?
Listen to your intuition. There is no chance. Chance is an idea that you have developed and that you very strongly ascribe to in relation to co-creating. That there are aspects of your reality that you don't create. If you create every aspect of your reality, there is no chance. Therefore, how do you approach the subject of chance? You listen to yourself, you listen to your intuition, and remember what your intuition is. Your intuition is your question answerer.
Elias, this is Loreen. I am wondering, from your discussion, I feel that I am a supporter personality. And my question is, has this enveloped the entirety of my life and the way I have interacted with people? Because I've had a lot of people in my life. Thank you.
Most definitely. But in the same capacity as you chose to be a female individual, does that envelop your life? Does it affect every aspect of your life? Does it affect your choices? Of course it does, for it is a choice of an overall expression in this particular focus. In like manner, your choice of which personality type you engage also does envelop and influence the entirety of your life in relation to how you express yourself. It is a part of you.
My other question is that a close friend of mine switched for a temporary period of time from being common back and forth from soft to common and back. Now, is this also something that can happen with being a supporter or a leader personality?
Now, let me express to you that action of changing from one orientation to another briefly, for you do not change, as I have expressed previously, permanently. But that action is a very definite action. It is an intentional action. It does not occur accidentally in your terms. And in that, could an individual briefly alter their personality type? It would be more difficult. For in that, what I would express to you is that changing your personality type would be akin to changing your gender.
Wow.
And let me express to you, even in relation to your present time framework and the subject of individuals being transgendered, they are merely altering the physical aspect of themselves. They are not altering the gender that they perceive themselves to be. They are altering the physical appearance of gender and altering some factors of the physical body consciousness and how it functions. But as to the individual and their identification of themselves, you will discover that any individual that moves in the direction of expressing transgendered, they have in one focus always identified themselves as one specific gender, regardless of what their body consciousness appears to be. Therefore, in that, they are merely changing the outward projection of themselves. They are not changing what gender they chose. In this, I would express that knowing that, or understanding that factor, individuals in your reality generally do not change their gender, and they do not generally change their personality type either. Is it impossible to do so? No. Nothing is impossible. Is it expressed in any manner that would even be considered rare? No, it is less than rare. I would express that it is beyond rare for an individual to incorporate that type of alteration. And the reason is that there would be no point. You incorporate many, many, many focuses that are all being expressed now simultaneously, that are all expressing different genders, different personality types. And in that, the idea or the purpose of altering an orientation briefly in one focus could be, in a manner of speaking, justified for that experience, and especially in this time framework in shifting, in the attempt to gain a greater understanding and awareness of your reality. Therefore, there's a purpose to that in this time framework and in relation to shifting and expanding. There would not be a tremendous purpose to altering your personality type, for you are expressing all of those even in this present time framework with your other focuses that are expressed in the same time framework as yourself. Therefore, it would be redundant.
I'm a bit confused by your answer because gender issues were not part of my question, but I think I have the answer that there is that possibly the supporter issue and the leader issue are a separate issue and are not easily changed. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
Can I ask one more question?
What?
Can I ask one more question, Vinu? Is there time for us? Right.
We have about 12, 13 minutes. Yeah.
Okay, right. I can see Elias nodding, so I'll ask the question. Just before this webinar, Rodney came online and dismuted his mic, and we had a very short conversation, and he mentioned, and then I got seriously curious as well, would Elias speak a bit about the next step? So is there any chance that you could say something about the next step in this webinar?
That was what we were discussing in relation to discovering that factor of what you want in reflections. That is the next step. That right. is what we were discussing. That is another layer beyond understanding that you project energy and you reflect energy, and that you either choose or you react. And in relation to being present and not reacting, this is the next step, is not merely being aware that everything around you is a reflection of you, but now moving that from an intellectual concept that everything around you is a reflection of you, and that you merely know that in words or idea, but moving that into the next step of being interactive with it, recognizing it, and also that it moves you farther into the direction of recognizing your interconnectedness. That is a significant piece. If you are now actively interactive with your reflections, and remember, you are reflecting every minute, every second of your existence, whether through objects, through your environment, even to yourself, you are reflecting. You are always, every moment of your existence, you are reflecting to yourself. Therefore, in that, now, in this next step, in this next layer, rather than that being only concept, you move in the direction of incorporating that interactively, that now you are actively seeking what is it that you want in every reflection, everything around you, and everything that you express yourself, for you reflect to yourself also. And in that, discovering your interconnectedness with everything around you, for it is participating with you and generating that actual reflection, your lamp in your room is generating a reflection to you. If it exists, it is reflecting.
And may I ask?
You are interconnected with it because it is reflecting to you. You have projected, you have created it, and it is reflecting back to you. It is creating a circle, and in that, it is interconnected. You are not separate from that lamp that is reflecting to you.
Question?
Yes.
You just mentioned that this is Rodney. This applies to our own physical bodies. So if a person has, say, swollen feet and it's difficult for them to walk, it seems to me that the question, what do I want, is terribly simple. Am I missing something here?
Not necessarily.
I want to be well and I want to be able to walk.
Ah. Yes, you are missing it.
All right.
But it is a matter of viewing the reflection in what it is. Expressing that I want to be well or I want to walk, you are merely changing the words to suit the avoidance of expressing what you don't want.
Oh, all right.
You don't want to not walk. In this, it is a matter of looking at that actual reflection. What is the reflection? Swollen, bloated.
Right.
What is the reflection? What is it in that expression that you want? What is it in swollen that you want?
Whoa.
That is the question. Not, I want to walk.
Got it.
At the reflection itself.
All right.
And therefore, you are asking yourself, in that reflection, what do I want? What do I want in relation to swollen?
Okay, I'm going to confess, I don't have a clue. I don't want to be swollen. It might be too concrete here, huh?
What is another?
Would this be expansion? Have something to do with expanding?
Yes.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Is the point. Look at the actual imagery and that actual reflection. Remember what I expressed. You may not like the manner in which it is being expressed.
Okay.
How can you interpret that in relation to what you want?
Okay, I got that. That's a very significant being aware of that. Now, but there's an immediate question. That is valuable. What influence would my being aware of that, would it have any effect on the body consciousness?
Yes.
It would.
In that, what are you doing? If you are focusing upon what you want, what are you doing? First, you are moving your attention away from what you don't want.
All right.
Your attention away from what is not comfortable, and you are giving yourself choices. When you are concentrated on what you don't want, you give yourself likely one or two choices, usually only one.
All right.
Usually it is only the one opposite choice of what you don't want.
Right.
When you are not focused on what you don't want, then you can give yourself more choices. When you are entertaining or focused on expanding, you are including what? Being comfortable.
Yes.
You are including what? Moving.
Yeah.
You are including doing.
Sure.
Those are all aspects of expanding. Therefore, that is what you begin to pay attention to and concentrate on. And that is the direction that you look to in relation to your choices, rather than, I don't like this, it is uncomfortable, and my only choice is to fix it or to be.
Thank you, Elias.
You are very welcome, my dear friend.
Great.
Well, Elias, we're at our our end time.
Very well. I express to all of you, these have been excellent questions. I very much encourage you to be engaging this new step in earnest and in genuineness. And I will express that it will lead you in the direction of much more freedom and tremendous empowerment. I extend dear friendship to each and every one of you, and offer to you all tremendous lovingness as always. Until we meet again, my friends. Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Bye, Elias.